Hello there, Bald Move fans. It's time once again to debate, discuss who won the week on our Bald Move TV podcast, the podcast for all the TV. Yeah, I'm all over the place with my branding there.
Yeah.
Okay. So we had the three contenders. We had The Leftovers, Better Call Saul, Fargo. I feel like this is going to be a controversial week because there's people that really, really liked Fargo. And it's not a not worthy episode. Better Call Saul was really, really good. And I detect from our podcast we did on Tuesday that you were just ever so off on your esteem for The Leftovers. So
Where
are you stacking them?
This is really tough.
High, stacking them wide, you stacking them deep.
Wherever they fit.
Just refuse to stack, period.
Well, yeah.
Your stats fat.
The only stacks I like are pancakes.
Are they rubber banded or are they vacuum sealed?
Well, I'm old school, so they're rubber banded.
All right. Well, you know, Don Eladio don't want that shit no more.
So this is a problem for me because I kind of felt the same way about all three of these episodes. Like, Leftovers is always good, but the first viewing of it certainly left me wanting a little bit.
Okay.
Second viewing I thought was better. Better Call Saul was mostly excellent all around, except for I didn't really like how they kind of left us hanging at the end, not knowing what's going on exactly.
Right.
And then Fargo was an entirely inconsequential episode,
but very
from what we can
very
tell.
Ambitious in its aspirations and what it set out to do.
And not unenjoyable, you know?
Nope.
It was just pointless. It was pointedly pointless.
Almost to the fact that, like, the showrunner is like, yeah, it is, so sue us.
Uh-huh.
Like, we're going to put a useless machine, we're going to end the episode on a useless machine imagery just to ram the thought home.
Right. So, man, how do you distinguish one over the other here? I feel like people are going to be very angry if I say Leftovers didn't win this week, but I honestly feel like Better Call Saul might have taken the week. By the slimmest of margins.
I enjoyed Better Call Saul so much that I almost went there too, and I was really thinking about this morning as I was getting ready. It's like, oh, God, I got to make a choice. But I didn't have your problems with Leftovers the first time. I was blown away by how beautiful and, like, savage and just, again, how kind of important and what emotional heft it has, and setting senior and junior on this collision course, I think is bonkers. And it's like, it's also not taking its sweet time. This season feels like it's moving like a freight train, I think.
Well,
just how beautiful everything was, like senior dancing out in the middle of the outback and the music and how that stuck in my head all week long.
It did.
And I think I liked Better Call Saul second, because I unexpectedly, like, I was expecting to really not like the Gus stuff, because I said at the beginning of the season that, like, I kind of, one of the cool things about Gus is he is mysterious.
Yeah.
And if we know too much about him, then it might take some of that specialness away from Giancarlo Esposito's very spare performance. It might take some of the mystery that we kind of fill in based on his reputation and all that and what we see of his operation. But then I got a little bit of taste of it, and, you know, kicks like a mule with its nuts duct taped together. It's tight, 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 as Tuco would say. And I really liked it. And then the separation between the episodes has never been slimmer, because, like, Fargo or Leftovers was really, really good. Better Call Saul was really, really good. And Fargo, while I don't think it was, like you said, it's hard to escape that it's kind of pointless / nihilist. That's not the right word, but very ambivalent. Even the way Nora, she's like
Gloria, but yes.
Yes, thank you. Noria. Even she says in the episode, like, yeah, this is a personal connection, but is it really? Like, I'm not even sure how I feel about this and why I'm doing this.
Right.
I'm feeling angsty and existential about all this stuff. It wasn't as viscerally engaging as either of the other two materials.
Yeah. I think the only chance I can see Fargo of having of winning one of these weeks is maybe if Leftovers has an off week, which doesn't happen often with the Leftovers.
Right. This might be that week, honestly. This might be the closest we get to a setup episode that we're going to get this whole season.
But I think also Fargo would have to do something really interesting with either Ray or Nikki or Ray and Emmett.
Well, here's the thing.
Or potentially with Emmett and Varga.
Like, honestly, Carrie Coons goes out to L.A.
Yeah.
Animation happens. But there is some kind of point to it. There is an emotional connection. There is something that pulls at, you know, involves me emotionally into this story other than, you know, my generic desire to see Carrie Coon be happy. Think of how fun last week's episode. If they had that episode with some of the more audacious, like, change of location and crazy animation techniques and stuff, that would be something that would, I think, vanquish a Leftovers had it had a, you know, crazy white fella thinking type of episode.
Right.
So,
yeah. I feel like we're treating Fargo as a second class citizen to these other two shows, but honestly, that's the way it feels in my mind. Fargo isn't as enjoyable for me as these other two.
And the thing that sucks about it is, I mean, I don't know if you read any of the press, but like a lot, I mean, and even on our forums, like this episode, I'd say it's polarizing on our forums because there's a lot of people that are like you and I, like, oh, my God. And I was even shocked. I was looking on the Nattercast forums on their Facebook fan site, and Shane Bowman's like, I'm out on Fargo.
Huh. Okay.
And I like, wow.
I can see that reaction, honestly.
Because I'm like, I thought that's like, wow, that's some pretty hate. But here's the thing. Mm-hmm. If I throw in the other shows I've been watching – if I throw Handmaid's Tale into the mix, if I throw American Gods in the mix, if I throw in Dear White People, which just came out on Netflix and I'm really enjoying the hell out of, I don't know that Fargo beats any of those except maybe Dear White People because it's more of a comedy than, although it does tackle a lot of social drama. I don't know, man. Like, it's just, you got such good television. And I know I'm leaving a lot of things out. Like, there's a lot of, you know, the 13 Reasons Why, I think it's called, about the girl who committed suicide. I haven't heard great things about that, but it's certainly getting a lot of controversy. There's just really good stuff. That Handmaid's Tale is amazing. And it brings me back to, like, season one Leftovers in the amount of emotional pain it's trafficking in. Mm-hmm. And American Gods is interesting because, like, there's stuff in that I've never seen before on television, like utterly unique imagery. And its only weakness is that their lead player is kind of bland in the same way Space Jon Snow is.
Okay.
Like, it's unfortunate that all this stuff is swirling or that this guy has to share the screen with Ian McShane throwing 100-mile-an-hour fastball. And he's just getting...
The hell, man? What is with casting all these people who...
I don't know.
...are supposed to be the fucking anchors of your show?
Right.
They've got to carry the most weight, and you're just not doing great casting here, shows.
Right, right.
Unfortunate.
I don't know. It's too bad that you've got this guy. And also, I think it's Pablo Schreiber plays this leprechaun character. And he's
related to...
Did you ever watch Orange is the New Black?
No.
Okay, so do you remember The Brink? He was the pilot that was cheating on his wife / girlfriend on The Brink.
Oh,
he's also Nikki on the season 2 of The Wire.
Yeah, sure.
And he's amazing. He's blowing this guy off the stage. So I feel sorry for this like generic kind of glowering stud dude. That, like, man, you just don't have the charisma to pull this off. But there's just so much great television that it's getting harder and harder to justify something that you don't love.
Yeah.
Like, why stick with something that you don't love if you got better options?
That's really what it comes down to. You know, I feel like the reason that Fargo is going to get short shrift here in Who Won the Week pretty much every week is going to be because we absolutely love these other two shows. Mm-hmm. And Fargo is just a show we like.
I don't know. I I love Fargo up until like the second to last episode last year, and last season. I love the first season of Fargo too. I thought it was, and that's why it always bugs me when I hear Andy Greenwald say that season two was a triumph and season one was just pretty good television. Because like constantly, I like have a 180 degree opinion on him for lots of notable, you know, golden age of television era television, and I don't get it. So yeah. I don't know. I feel like that's who won the week. I was trying to get Cecily and I in here to do a Handmaid's Tale and American Gods podcast. I think we decided to try to record that Monday so we can get another episode of American Gods in.
Okay.
And all, you know, also we could have recorded a month Wednesday night, but we knew that was going to be a new Handmaid's Tale and like you know, because what they did is it's weird. They released the first three episodes on Hulu. And then every week, every Wednesday, they're releasing another one. So it's this weird blended binge model.
Yeah, yeah.
So you I've get people hooked around. And like, and that's probably really smart for a slow burn show. Not that it was a particularly slow burn, but they just really throw you in this world, and they do a lot of world building, and it takes about that many episodes to see like, you know, everything that the world has to offer. And I think episode four was maybe their best episode yet.
I wonder if they do that because it prolongs the hype.
I mean,
you look at Stranger Things, right? That kind of came and went. And yeah. I know that it's going to be hyped from here to breakfast when season two drops, but it's a very limited window of hype. And then people are on to the next thing. Whereas if you drip it out.
Are you coming around to Alan Sepinwall's contention that that binging is not the optimal way to watch television?
No. No, I think from a consumer standpoint, a fan standpoint, I love it. Like, that's the way I want to watch TV is binge it. But I think from a studio or a network standpoint, they want to keep the hype going, right?
Yeah, but isn't doing something consumer... I mean, I don't know. Is it better to burn like a Nova and then be gone in 2 weeks? Or is it better to be, you know, try to maintain a candle flicker throughout 13 weeks of stiff competition? Because that's the other thing, like a Stranger Things, no matter what was going on at the time, it could have been showing opposite of Game of Thrones, and that burst of enthusiasm would have burnt through that into the cultural awareness, like, you know. Whereas if it was just on and it was another show for 13 weeks and people couldn't get just like hooked and like, oh my god, I plowed through this thing and it's over a weekend and I can't even fucking believe it, like,
yeah, maybe.
And sometimes, you know, it's like that's kind of the bald move philosophy. What's good for the person that you're serving is good for the company.
Oh, I thought you were going to say what's good for one show might not be good for another, because I certainly think that's true. I think if they wanted to go season two Stranger Things dripped out over 13 weeks, they could do it.
Yeah.
No problem.
Right.
Or 8 weeks or 10 weeks, whatever it's going to be.
Right.
And the hype would stay, right? People would be invested at that point. But you might be right. If you want to kickstart a new show and you're up against some competition, just get it all out there.
But that blended binge model, I think that Netflix might try that, because like, if they'd released like three or four episodes of Stranger Things and got, you know, like all these people hooked over a weekend when nothing else was on, because they drop kind of like Friday, like, you know, hey, what are you going to do Friday night? Let's try what's on. And then 2 o'clock in the morning, you're like, oh my god.
Yeah.
You'd still have that, but then you'd also have the next four to X amount of weeks of people like speculating and building up the hype and build. So you get people hooked and then you string them along. Mm-hmm. But even then, it's like that. There you go. The verbiage I'm using to describe it seems like it's not customer friendly. It's not consumer friendly.
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
So it's like in the long term, is it better for Netflix? Because the other thing is like, it doesn't seem like Netflix has any shortage of these types of shows. Like, maybe not everything will be as talked about as Stranger Things, but they are having pretty reliable success in knocking these things out of the park. And more people are doing, like Hulu, like they've had some original series before, like, you know, Aaron Paul's The Path and what was that? 12/16/65
Franco.
Yeah, the Franco. But like The Handmaid's Tale seemed like the first one that's really getting like, you know, bubbling to the top forefront of the cultural awareness of the country.
Yeah. Well, so. I don't know. The companies are going to do what's better for their ROI, I would imagine.
Right. But that's all, you know, as we well know, when you got to close the ecosystem like Netflix, what's good for the eye of the company, or what's good for the company, is very much in the eye of the beholder. Like, it's, you know, it's basically the executive and board team of Netflix's understanding of what their consumer wants.
Well,
and they have reams of data to back it up.
That's
but
the
like,
thing. They have all the data in the world to tell them exactly what the consumer wants.
But how do they know that binge is better if they've never tried the conventional way?
Right. No, I mean, that's probably why a lot of these shows are getting released differently, you know?
Right.
Like, they're trying all sorts of stuff. One-off movies, comedy specials, like, series, all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
That's who won the week. Bald Move TV will be back, I think, Monday, but definitely next week for Cecily and I to talk about The Handmaid's Tale and American Gods. We might talk about a few of the other shows we've been watching because there's been some really good Netflix comedies. I just encourage everyone, if you got a Netflix subscription and you haven't checked out Louis C.K. and Dave Chappelle and Maria Bamford in particular, you really are missing out on about 5 hours of really, really funny comedy. And that's my official recommendation for this week. Anything else you want to talk about?
Nope.
All right. We are out. We'll see you next week.